Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
What up? We're back. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, old school and live in effect, 1040 O Street. All things NBA right now. NBA playoffs are heating up. Moves are being made throughout the league. Everything's reactionary. But it's generally like, you know, in Austin, the NFL, after the playoffs, they call it Black Monday, as coaches sometimes get fired or let go or whatever. It's the same thing for NBA, right? It's like, we'll just go through them. You got Sixers, Daryl Morey. He's going to have to make a lot of, he said his quote is, we're going to have to make a lot of changes, right? Well, you got Joel Embiid, you got Maxey. You actually have a nice little roster. You got Kyle Lowry that showed some spark, but, you know, he's always just injury prone. He's kind of like a lesser version of Chris Paul. And then you got the Dallas Mavericks, right? Playing really well, but then as a reaction of Darvin Ham getting fired from the Lakers, you signed Jason Kidd to an extension, which is great for Jason Kidd. It's actually great for organization. Because he's done a good job, and he's found a way to have Luka and Kyrie, after a rough kind of start, they look like a pretty good tandem, and they play really well off of each other and with each other. And then you have Pat Riley and Jimmy Butler. Ooh. If you don't know Jimmy Butler, there's two Jimmy Butlers, or three. It's Jimmy Butler, the playoff player, which I think is overblown. He plays better in the playoffs than he does in the regular season. He's Jimmy Butler, the leader, the hard worker, the tough guy, the glue of your team when you first sign him. And then there's the Jimmy Butler when it's a contract year in the offseason, which is the worst version of Jimmy Butler. We've seen it with the Timberwolves. We've seen it with the Bulls. And you're going to see it now with the Heat. Mm-hmm. And Pat Riley says, look, you know, his extension is contingent on his availability. Pat Riley will tell you, if you ain't in shape and you're not available, you ain't getting paid. Period. And the Heat, if they just have it. It's called the Heat culture. Mm-hmm. But that's probably the most interesting thing after all these NBA quotes or NBA situations. And that's including the Clippers supposedly want to keep Paul George, Harden with Kawhi. Everything's contingent on who Kawhi wants to keep. I like it. I just feel like those guys will never reach their max because they're never in there together. I would maybe run it back one more time, but if I'm Paul George, I got to decide what I want to be.
Well, he's a free agent.
Yeah, but you got to, I mean, what I mean is he has to decide what he wants to be. Mm-hmm. Like, you essentially was a throw in because Kawhi chose you, because right. Kawhi thought that he was on the same level as LeBron. Mm-hmm. And didn't want to go. I don't even think LeBron would have had him be like a Robin to Batman. I think LeBron would have, because LeBron wanted to win championships. I think he would have been fine with it. Kawhi was at his height and did it. And you got Paul George, took him out of OKC. Even when Paul George was playing well, he never going to get the respect. What do you want to be known as? What do you want to do?
Paul George is fascinating to me. I said this, I think it was on Happy Hour, and I'd love your opinion here. I think Paul George is good as the best option if you look back at his Indiana days or his Oklahoma City days.
Right.
I think he'd be good as a third option.
Yeah.
Right, if he's taking the third seat behind Harden running the show and Kawhi as the guy for that team.
Right.
When Paul George is the second guy,
it's too much
things
pressure.
Seem to be wonky.
Right.
Where there's too much yet not enough on his plate at the same time. What I think Paul George needs to do is to continue to be okay being that number three and do what Kevin Durant never could, right? KD was probably the two in Golden State.
Right.
But you could also argue he was the three or the four.
At times.
At times, yeah. Right? And he was never okay with that. Where if Paul George would lean into being an elite 3-and-D guy where if the star goes out,
then
sure,
you can take over
as the one. That's fine. But that was, to me, Phoenix's biggest problem is they didn't tell Kevin Durant that that was Devin Booker's team.
Right.
Whereas when he got to Golden State, everyone knew it was Steph's team.
Yeah, I think with Paul George, you know, I think he was an emerging star before he had the horrific injury in the USA basketball training camp. And then he came back great, you know, and he still is a tough player to play with two, like, separated shoulders. We had to get them both operated on and didn't miss, hardly any games at all. You know he's tough enough to answer the bell. But you got to find out where you're at. I think he's one of those players. He's too good of a player because he's a, like I say, a 3-and-D type of player. He's a three-level scorer. I think he can be awful creative if he had to be like a 0.3 or a 0.4 or whatever you want to call it. Do you want to finish your career without a championship? Mm-hmm. You're from California. Do you want to be the third option for the Lakers? Or can you find a way to go, you know, a four-team trade and get Austin Reeves out of there and you take that spot? Austin Reeves, who we've seen, obviously, against the Nuggets, as hard as he tried, couldn't keep up with the Jamal Murray or anybody like that. You bring Paul George in there.
Makes sense when you look at their bloodlines.
But... Right. Yeah, you know that, right? Now with a fried Strick. I hope you listen to this. Strick, I hope you listen to this before
fried
you get...
Fried Stricken.
Before you get outside of the 93.7 The Ticket, before you have to get on the app. Everybody should get on the app, by the way. It would take pressure off LeBron defensively, and it would allow Anthony Davis to go back to where off the ball where he is phenomenal. But are you willing to do that? Some guys aren't, and I think, you know, the funny thing about it is like the only thing I can equate to it is like playing with Deion, or when Deion went to San Fran and there's Jerry Rice, or when Deion went to the Cowboys and there's Michael Irvin, Emmitt Smith, and all those guys. Those guys are all Hall of Fame players. And at that point in time, and through the history of football, there's a good argument that they were the best at that time at their said position and one of the best of all time. That's why they're all in the Hall of Fame. But they found a way to do it. You got guys that aren't on that level, not willing to play second fiddle or play along with LeBron because you're jealous. And this is where it comes full circle. You see this in sports. You particularly see it in golf with Tiger Woods. Without LeBron, with the way it is right now, the way that he was able, and this is, you know, we're going to get into the next part about LeBron, and it's a good, you know, lead into. Without LeBron answering the bell of being the next guy and actually being more than advertised, you know, being 18 years old, being on Sports Illustrated, supposed to carry the league, comes right in and averages, I think, right at 20, and is everything that you expect. Because, you know, from its Harold Miner to all these other guys, is flamed out. Everybody benefited off of it.
Well, think about those two guys we've talked about specifically. Without LeBron, there's no Kawhi.
Right.
Think about Kawhi as a young guy guarding LeBron in those finals.
Right.
There's that gif of LeBron.
Same with Paul George
in Indiana, right? Without LeBron being who he was, who knows if those guys rise up to that level and become who they are.
Right. And it's not only that, but you've benefited because he's taken the game to a global market faster than the NBA could do it on its own with you guys in it without LeBron. KD's part of that too, but LeBron has been doing it at a higher level and has done it in a small market, a big market, back to small market, to the biggest market. But then all of a sudden you guys are like, okay, well, you got yours. You guys have all been overpaid because you guys haven't delivered, especially Kawhi, Harden, and Paul George. Throw Russ in there. And sure, LeBron probably has some fault, but it's no different if you're Tony Kukoc and you go play with Jordan. If you're Scottie Pippen, you play with Jordan. Or like Horace Grant chose to leave after three championships. Or any other player, Dennis Rodman comes in. Dennis Rodman is one of the best defenders from the 3, 4, and 5 position of all time. You know what I'm saying? So what he was doing, he was the best of all time where he was at. If you want to look at the flip side, how it doesn't work when...
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes. So doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
The Lakers got Gary Payton, Karl Malone, obviously Kobe, and all those guys. They couldn't get right. That's kind of like the Clippers. And so it's a huge offseason for a ton of teams. It's a huge offseason for the NBA. There's got to be some realistic talks. And if players want to create a legacy, because it is another thing. When you hear people say, well, can we talk about Cam Newton? Cam Newton's made a ton of money. Well, Cam Newton was going to make a ton of money anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just because he, that doesn't mean he didn't reach his potential. Cam Newton could have been one of the best of all time, revolutionized the game. Still was, still is, or still had, still did. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking about to the magnitude.
Well, Cam and LeBron are very similar size.
Right.
Obviously, LeBron's got a few inches of height on him.
Right. But
in terms of what they can do on multiple
trust
aspects.
Trust me, I saw Cam Newton, I was like, that dude is a defensive end. All I was, with Cam Newton, if he would have had somebody help him with the fundamentals middle to the late of his career, he still possibly could be playing.
Mm-hmm.
Then every year added on to pushes him that much farther past the guys that are with him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows if he falls into a Super Bowl or something like that. So the NBA, you know, it's a, I wouldn't say it's at a crossroads. I think it's a good crossroads. The Lakers are at a serious crossroads, along with some other people on their team, and in particular LeBron James. What do you want to do? He's probably going to opt out. But I asked you before the break, Austin, is the fact that LeBron, you know, it's out, he had 10 coaches. Does it affect his legacy in a positive or negative way as far as the greatest of all time, you know, I guess being the greatest of all time, which I think is thrown out there too quickly to too many players.
Mm-hmm.
Does that affect your decision or not?
It doesn't. It doesn't. Because I think you're on to something where it's not just LeBron's getting these guys fired necessarily. Right. But I think when you think back through, especially the more recent sort of legends of the game, they're tied to one coach. It's Steph and it's Steve Kerr. It's Duncan and it's Popovich. It's Shaq and Kobe and it's Phil, who they're tied to. Obviously, it's MJ and it's Phil. You can tie, you know, Pat Riley to the Showtime Lakers teams. Everything going on with Boston as well. So I think it's unique among, you know, these guys that are the best of the best of the peak to not have that one coach. But as much as it could be a knock if you think it's, oh, LeBron's getting these guys fired, he's not performing, he's not building the roster, whatever, I almost think it's a credit and a testament too, because he's been able to be successful with all different kinds of coaches. He's been able to use his game different ways. And let's not pretend like Eric Spoelstra is a slouch. Right?
No.
Ty Lue, really good coach.
Right.
David Blatt got him to the finals as well. So it's not like Frank Vogel, pretty solid coach, right? Not all timers. I mean, Spo might be in the top 10 conversation when it's all said and done. Ty Lue, one of the better coaches in this day and age. But LeBron hasn't had an absolute, no doubt, legend coaching him. Like any of, well, even like, I'm going to say Steve Kerr is a coaching legend.
Yeah.
I think Steph made Steve Kerr in a lot of ways.
Right.
But the MJs, the Kareems, the Magics, the Birds, Jordan, obviously, have an iconic coach tied to them. That's what's different about LeBron, maybe than other GOATs.
Yeah, and it's the difference of the day and time where, you know, like, however many, you know, when Phil Jackson was, you know, struggling to get over the hump, and they stuck with him, right? They had to add some pieces. He had to change a little bit what he's doing if you ever watched it, The Last Dance. But in this day and time, if they would have hit that crossroads, he probably would have been fired.
Right.
You can't tell me that if Jordan went to the Orlando Magic, that he's the same player. There's no way. There's no way. And, you know, like you're completely right. It's a testament, but then also it's a detriment. And when you're at, when you get picked, this is no different than NFL. When you get picked number one, you're not going to the the defending champion,
the cream of the crop.
You're not. And so reason why you were the organization's usually picking number one is because they will constantly have turnovers. I think Blatt, I don't think he, I think the whole aura of the NBA was too much for him. You got to think he came from Europe.
Israel.
But it, that's where he's, he was a really successful coach over there. This is what, you could just see it on it. It was just too much. T. Lou came in, and I think T. Lou is a lot like Steve Kerr. Both of the superstars made them into good coaches. T. Lou was taken off, same with Steve Kerr. But, you know, it's almost flipped where the players have kind of coached and mentored and pushed along the coaches versus, I feel, with Jordan, Phil Jackson had a big influence on that to get him to see the bigger part. And then he already had all the answers when he came in and approached Kobe and Shaq about it.
I'm going to give Tyronn Lue some credit here because he's done it with multiple organizations and multiple stars, right?
Yeah.
Steve Kerr gets credit for keeping the band together in Golden State as long as he has.
100% right.
But I don't know if Steve Kerr would have been as successful outside of Golden State without those guys. Not saying he's a system coach and that's who he relies on, but you've seen Tyronn Lue work with different types of superstars. You saw him integrate Russell Westbrook in.
Yeah.
I was all over that move. I hated it for them. Like, why would you do this to Tyronn Lue? And he really made it work. So I want to give him his props for being able to be flexible so it wasn't just he was tied to one superstar.
Yeah.
But also a credit, too, in that superstars want to play for him. That's a part of it, too.
Yeah, and he speaks their language.
Yeah.
And he gets the you get the locker room credit based on coaching LeBron and having success, and then you had success there with the Clippers before multiple pieces come in. You know, you got the golden seal of approval from Jordan, obviously from when they played together. So T. Lou is right there. Plus, T. Lou had enough confidence in himself as a coach and as a person. If you know T. Lou, he's very confident to boot up to the LeBron and called him to the carpet. And that's where you gain the respect. And that travels. And you only could do it. You got to think. I think the Mike Brown that Cleveland had isn't the Mike Brown that went to Golden State and is at Sacramento right now. Because it was his first time.
Right.
Even though he was with San Antonio with Pop and kind of up there, your first time doing is different. And that's what's so much that's what's so different about
being the head coach and being an assistant.
Being the head coach and assistant, but LeBron's tenure versus like, I always wonder, like, that's the easiest thing to do. Like I was talking about with, like, when you judge a quarterback. Well, you made a lot of money. Well, quarterbacks are always going to be the highest paid. Did they reach their maximum? Sometimes it's the player. Sometimes it's the organization. Sometimes it's both. But generally, if the organization isn't tightened up, it's going to affect how these legendary or once in a decade players or whatever you want to call it are, you know, successful or not. I would like to think that New Orleans might have wanted to be more hands-on with Zion from the beginning, right? Maybe they got rid of Gentry a little bit too early because he was a great mentor to him.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And how did that affect Zion?
Or Monty Williams.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or both of them. Mm-hmm. They got rid. So two guys that had a positive effect that could get his ear and his attention are gone, right? Maybe Memphis has somebody on their roster that's an old veteran that could pull Ja Morant out of the strip club and say, listen, you're going down the wrong path, or somebody in their organization. Maybe so, maybe not.
They just need to hire the bouncers and say, if you see him, he doesn't enter.
Send him to the VIP lounge with no doors there, no entry. But then also you got to think with Jordan, when Jordan got there, what the first thing they got rid of Reggie Theus.
Yeah.
Got rid of Reggie Theus. Started getting rid of like Orlando Woolridge and all these other guys that weren't good influences. And then you slowly but surely starting to bring in guys that are pieces around there. And that's the difference. And that's not the whole difference, but that's how you cultivate a championship versus break down a championship possibility with superstar players. So, good segment there. We're going to take a quick break, get back on the clock there. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, we'll be right back.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.